This is Ham Radio, fighting the war against the purification of America. Because who needs that shit? Why? Because we can. Follow us, but not too close, on Twitter. Twitter.com/Ham Radio Show.
Ham Radio.
Tastes so good, make you want to slap your mama. Don't it, Willie?
Yeah, boy. Hey, mama.
What the hell you want with...
We can light up a doobie and watch porn.
Don't forget your rubbish.
Ham Radio, but you left me no other choice. I call the FCC.
Uncle Eddie.
Because you're the host of this show, you have total control over what happens on your show. If you don't, then you suck at your job. Then you suck at your fucking job.
Oh, yeah, I know all about the FCC.
Billy McNamee.
Watch your language, bud. We're on the air.
Ham Radio. Professional radio without the rules.
Listen, I'm here to get my money back for that ham radio.
Battery boy.
You are a scumbag. You are a scumbag.
I did tell him to stop.
Fuck it.
Professional radio without the rules.
I got it.
Ham Radio.
Make that clitty big and hard.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so fat for you.
Woo!
Oh, woo! Woo!
Yes! Come on, man!
Ham Radio. The most dangerous radio today. Ham Radio.
You didn't see any of that. You're a liar.
Oh, my God, we need to find this fucking tape.
I did scumbag!
Fighting the war against the purification of America. Because who needs that shit?
You heard, bad boy! Here's your target for tonight!
And now, Ham Radio.
Now that you opened up the demon in me! There's a pig on my shoulder, Charlotte! There's a pig on my shoulder. Good evening, everybody. It's the Ham Radio Show. I have an old man with a pig puppet on my shoulder.
Billy and I were having puppet sex.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people watched it on the internet.
That pig was a pig.
What a pig.
What a whore.
This pig takes it up the ass, let me tell you.
718-577-1389. It's the Ham Radio Show.
Oh, God.
We are live on hamradioshow.com, part of the Unfiltered
gross.
Radio Network. How is everyone?
I'm fucking a puppet.
I'm fucking a puppet.
Hey, how you doing?
Carla in the Facebook Live suite says, nice hog.
I'll tell you.
First time I've ever heard that, quite frankly.
Oh.
And, you're so cute. I want to suck a
pound. Just kill your puppet for a second. 718-577-1389. It is the Ham Radio Show.
Why is it so sticky?
Why is the inside of the puppet so sticky?
I don't know.
It's so dirty.
You know, I never tried that, you know?
What, sticking your dick in the puppet?
You know, whacking off with the puppet on my hand. Well, it's like having somebody else.
And there goes.
Mental note: don't touch the puppet.
Don't touch the puppet.
Thank you.
Never ever.
And we're back
again.
Baloney tits.
How you doing, buddy?
Lenore, Carla, Jackie, a whole bunch, Patrick, a whole bunch of people hanging out in the Facebook Live suite.
That's right.
Conveniently located on my Facebook page.
What a guy.
I know. What a hell of a guy that I am. It's a great day.
It's wonderful.
Wonderful, everybody.
Kiss my ass.
Yeah. That's right.
No.
What was that? What was that, announcer?
Kiss my ass.
That's right. So this is how the show starts, folks. I'm sorry. Let me get the camera.
I don't know.
A better shot of what's going on. For everybody, by the way, cause especially Baloney Tits, who was asking, here is the Craig Ferguson snake cup.
You have the snake cup.
So just like one of my idols.
Is that like some kind of award or something?
No, Craig was given this on the one of the episodes of his show, The Late Late Show, by the chick who played, when I can't remember her fucking name right now.
Mm-hmm. Scaly McGee.
Mary McCormick, the one who played Howard's wife in the movie. She went to the Rattlesnake Museum and bought Craig Ferguson a mug, and he used it for the rest of the time on his show, and Joe hates it.
I hate it.
Giggles in the Facebook Live suite, and she's mentioning the seatbelt thing that I mentioned on that was a private message, I believe.
What was that?
I guess,
Between me and you. And now, of course, seatbelt on,
well,
she says.
Good. Be prepared.
It's good. Thank God. Let's fucking duct tape you to a seat. For Christ's sake. What do you think, a seatbelt's the only thing you need? You need a fucking, you need a car seat, duct tape, and crazy glue for your fucking ass. That's what you need. That's what you need, lady. What the fuck is today? It's the 10th of April. On the show today, it's the 10th of April.
Joe, you want to turn that off, please?
Oh, is it on?
Yes.
He always, look at this asshole. Look at him trying to figure out his phone.
I did it.
Like a dick. Every fucking time.
I shouldn't have a phone like this.
You shouldn't have a phone.
I should have one of those like.
You should have no phone with
you. My son bought me this phone for a gift. It's a very nice phone and everything like that. There's a lot of things that I don't know shit about.
He doesn't know anything. You know,
kiss my ass.
What exactly does it do besides?
It does a lot.
Talk with like
it does
besides
all of it.
What do you actually use it for? Though?
Oh,
do you go on? Do you go on the internet?
Celebrity bowling.
Okay, so celebrity bowling. So he plays a game.
Yeah, I play a couple of games. Solitaire.
So you play video games.
Yeah, solitaire freak.
What about porn on your phone?
Oh, all the time.
On the phone?
And it's great because you can take it into the bathroom.
Exactly.
That's
yes.
No problem. You can take it. It's just like portable porn.
Totally. Smartphones have helped out, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They have helped out masturbating across everything.
But you know, it's hard to see the screen. I like the big screen.
Wait, hold on for one second.
Perhaps you'd like me to come in there and wash your dick for you.
Yeah. Oh.
That would be nice.
My phone doesn't do that. Giggles is taunting me, saying she has access to everything. I wasn't hiding it.
Nobody hid anything.
When do you know me to hide anything, Giggles?
What did you do?
I wrote something about Giggles to Billy. I'll fucking, we'll put all this, we won't tell everything because I don't know if she wants her shit out there.
Yeah.
But I don't hide from anything. This is the discussion that me and Joe had before the show when we were talking about having relationships.
Oh, yeah. Because
we were talking about having relationships in this business, right? Where we're in the radio business, we do a radio show and everything else. And having a relationship in this business is kind of, you know, treacherous at times.
It can be hazardous.
It can be hazardous to your health when it comes to this show. Now,
that's why you guys come to my house.
Exactly. It's escapism. Now, it's like therapy. It's escape.
How to build a studio here.
Here. Here. We come here for that reason. So now, we get into a discussion because Joe's talking about how that women destroy their dream killers is what Joe is getting at. If you're in a relationship and you have a dream and your partner doesn't see eye to eye on said dream, or you have not exactly, and you have not achieved said dream fast enough, right? Then it's like, you're done with your dream.
Well,
you're done playing around, and now you have to move on with life.
Well,
that's what Joe was saying.
No, what gets me is They know you have a dream. They know what it is. They know what's going on.
Yeah.
And they're all for your dream until they got you. And then it's like,
and then they got you by the balls.
You're coming to church with me now. Something like that.
Who
you
the
know.
Fuck's going to church?
Paint the living room or something like that. It's, you know, don't you know? Sorry about that, but have to go to work.
Wait, hold on for a minute.
Use that expression. Grow up.
Right, hold on for 1 second.
Okay.
Baloney Tits, no, I'm not having Paulie D and Vinny on my show. I wouldn't disrespect my show like that and have them on.
Cool.
The two guys from Jersey Shore now have a new show on MTV.
You do that and I'll kill you.
Exactly. Called Double Shot of Love. And Vinny's from Staten Island.
Oh.
Vinny is from Staten Island.
That's why.
And they have a... And I get all the whole thing. Everyone's like, oh, they're going to milk it. This, that, and the third. I get it. Milking the product, I have zero problem with. If any of them had a shred of fucking talent, I would be totally okay with that. I'd be like, okay, they have talent, and they happen to be on television, as opposed to they're just a bunch of schmucks that really got famous going, hey, yo, look at that broad over here.
Hey.
Why don't we go up there and Jim tan laundry with this twat up in the fucking room? I put the bing,
Yeah, but they That's all they big fucking money. Did. It's big money.
Of course they made big money, because morons.
I would do that for big money.
Morons literally.
Yeah.
No, literally, somebody just wrote me privately, she has to go to church. Thanks a lot, Joe! You bastard. I don't want hot women going to church.
Say a prayer
for everybody. Listen, say a prayer for everybody. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, because this ties in, because these guys are on a show, they're in a house with 20 broads looking for love in all the wrong places,
And this is bad?
It's bad because it's crap television, Joe. I respect them. Because you're just going to go, oh, they're getting laid.
Yeah,
and you're a fucking Mama Luke like their Mama Luke.
And then you're going
to
have...
We choose to watch it, then it's...
I don't choose to watch shit.
Well, that's you.
And I freely won't have them on because they're just... No talent bitches.
Now, you get the people that are going to watch this. Yeah. They're basically like 12 to 15 or whatever the age
Heavy
group,
attention
maybe.
Span of a grape.
They're going to look at this and go, well, that's what we got to do with life. Treat women like this and we'll get whatever we want.
Mustafa's.
You know. And don't start with that shit. And we're on the air.
Okay.
But they'll and it sets a precedent in these kids' minds. Like, this is what they have to do.
Exactly. I mean, and this is how they act. And this is why we had that stupid show that was on Staten Island called Made in Fucking Staten Island.
Now,
that never went anywhere because real Staten Islanders stood the fuck up and said, that's bullshit.
Yeah, we're good people.
And stopped making us look like a bunch of assholes.
When was the last time you heard
TV?
Somebody? Not that long ago.
Exactly. The fucking fake mob assholes that want to walk around Staten Island. We're connected. Yeah. I'm connected. There are a bunch of people in this room that are connected. We don't fucking talk about it.
That's right.
All right? Shut it up. Is it the pig? Oh, you just dropped his phone.
It's dumb.
It's the pig. You fucking talk.
He did.
You talk, motherfucker. Get out of here.
Hey, you hurt my pig.
You hurt my pig. I slapped him around a little bit, though. The fact of the matter is, so we going from that. What's... Go back into what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think that those guys have problems if they're in a relationship? Do you think that, like, Paulie D or Vinny are going to go, their girlfriend's going to come to them and go, I don't know, honey. I don't know if you can go back to the Jersey Shore 25th anniversary because we have kids now.
Wow.
No, they're not. Not that all women are dream killers. Joe's stance is that they're dream killers.
Most of them. Not all of them.
Okay. I'm just saying. That's what you said. Yeah. Dream killers. Just saying.
In a practical way, you know, they want a certain life that society demands that we have.
Exactly.
You know, if you have a...
Who squealed?
Yeah.
Nick in the Facebook live suite. Who squealed?
Yeah.
Nick, our Canadian Unified Network technician, or... cunt.
Come out wherever you are.
Come out wherever you are.
Yeah.
But that's the point. Like, you literally... will get into a relationship, and I don't play this stupid game that Joe was talking about. This I don't play this happy wife, happy life bullshit. Both people in the relationship need to be fucking happy.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's not going
to
work.
Or it's not a relationship.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You just because the wife's fucking, and that's for any guy, any self-respecting man who has a set of testicles.
Women too.
No, 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 no
pull that shit on them too.
But let me make my point for the men's side. You can speak for the women because you have a vagina. Yeah. Let me speak for the man's side for one second.
It's tasty too.
Delicious. Oh.
You're so cute.
I know. I'm sure that she tastes amazing. Yeah. But my point being is that men that fucking act as if your feelings don't matter in a relationship, you're not a man then. And I'm not saying boss the chick around. I'm not fucking saying that. What I'm saying is, if you know, you don't have to be fucking a dictator like Joe.
You have to find the middle ground.
I told you I wanted fucking chicken.
Yeah.
You made ham. Fuck off. Get in the kitchen and make a fucking chicken.
Well, I made the ham. I made the ham because you were fucking a pig anyway.
Yeah. Oh,
so I figured you wanted too.
I watched your little radio program. Anyway. The fact
I call
is,
that bold talk for a one-eyed fat man.
Thank you.
That's right.
The fact of the matter is that you have to have both parties happy.
Yes.
That's it. That should be the end of the discussion, but it's not. It's not because people come out and they do this whole happy wife, happy life. And they make fucking, and you're supposed to sit there and just act as that should be the norm, and that's it. No.
Norm?
Not Norman Cheers. I'm talking about, like, they act as if that's what it should be. And you're like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
They have to realize it's what you see on TV is not real. But
exactly. But, and these assholes on the Jersey Shore do that type of shit.
They trick you.
They trick you.
They everything is fine until you're committed. And then it's not fine.
Something like that.
By the way, Giggles wants to point out that she does taste amazing.
Ooh.
And on 2 hours of sleep, the man helped himself to her tasty snatch.
Woohoo.
I used the word snatch. She bleeped it out.
And now another useless fact.
Today's useless fact brought to you by Giggle Snatch. Giggle Snatch is gooey and ooey, but goddamn it's tasty.
Yes.
And this has been today's useless fact. Enjoy. Thank you, Joe, for accompanying me. Baloney Tits also wants me to have on Matt Stryker, which we'll talk about Matt Stryker in a minute. Ooh. Matt has been on this program.
Yes, he has.
I will have Matt Stryker on again. I will definitely. I will reach out to Matt Stryker and have him on. I will get the number from Babs.
Who is he?
Matt Stryker, professional wrestler, who I was on pay-per-view with. Hashtag, ooh, I was on pay-per-view.
Who? Man. What? What?
Pay-per-view.
Yeah, well, I didn't pay for it.
Do you want to go into this now? Because we can go into this now.
No,
or do we have time? Or should we say, wait, we have choices. Do we go to, could we keep talking about your girlfriend's vagina? Or fiance's vagina? I'm sorry. Or talk about me being a pay-per-view? Or go back to relationships? What do you like to do?
Oh, you got like 4.5 minutes
That's
to get
totally,
your way through.
4.5 minutes is perfect. Let's talk about her snatch. It's delicious.
No,
from what Billy said, it tastes like strawberry preserves. It's delicious.
Thanks for your support.
There you go. It tastes like Bartles and James.
I like pumpkin.
You like a pumpkin vagina?
Yeah.
A little spicy after the holidays, ain't it?
Yes, this is baloney. This is my Miami Vice t-shirt. You like it?
You don't like pumpkin pie?
I love pumpkin pie, but I don't like a pussy.
Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
Exactly.
Okay.
I don't think pussy should taste like, you know.
What should it taste like?
Not pumpkin pie.
Right. You put whipped cream and cinnamon, it's really great.
Okay.
You're bringing whipped cream and cinnamon into the bedroom and you're whipped creaming up the pussy. I've seen that done.
Mm-hmm.
But you're putting a little sprinkle of cinnamon on there?
A little cinnamon.
Sometimes you
can use the, what is that stuff? Is like a clove or something like that?
Clove.
You got
a microplane and some clove.
Like that, yeah. You grate it.
Why are you Rachel Ray-ing her vagina? Just eat the vagina.
Well, yeah, but you want it to be nice.
Billy says, and I quote, that her vagina tastes good.
What does it taste like?
What does it get? Billy, if you had to put in the words.
Drink up. The world's about to end.
Drink up. Joe, give him some thinking music.
Oh, okay.
Please, give him some thinking music. I want you to come up with, if you can relate it to something that we could understand, what does your girlfriend / fiance's vagina taste like? We'll wait.
A delectable. Wonderful.
No, those are adjectives. What does it taste like? As in, like, is it like a peach? Does it taste like a plum?
Pumpkin pie.
No pumpkin pie, Joe. No pumpkin pie.
What does it taste like to you, Billy? Says Giggles.
Of course she does.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't know.
If you were going to put it into words, William, think before you answer. For the first time ever on this show, think before you answer.
Ow.
Because this is...
I wonder what dick tastes like.
Oh, that's a good question. You know what?
Marcus?
Giggles? Giggles? No, no. I'm going to ask Giggles.
Joe wants to know.
When was the last time that Giggles blew you? While you were eating a box last night? Or early this morning or whatever it was?
Or yesterday?
Okay.
Or the day before?
So, Giggles, what does Billy's dick taste like? And, Billy, what does Giggles...
Get the stiff out of here.
No, not that stiff. What does Billy, in your own words, Billy, what does her vagina taste like?
It's...
I love this.
If you're gonna go, if you're gonna go with the peaches,
well,
like
I've never
like
sampled Giggles' vagina.
It's like a peaches and cream type.
Peaches and cream.
It's, yeah, it's very.
Oh, so you're like a fruit.
Yeah,
you're like
good.
A fruit.
Well, you know, some guys you could taste like filet mignon. You know, it could be a steak, it could be it's a piece of meat. You know,
it might look like roast beef, but it tastes like peaches and cream.
It doesn't taste like tuna fish.
That's right.
Well, you know that
3-day old mayonnaise, right? Yeah.
Well, you know that if it smells like fish but tastes like chicken, hold your breath and keep on licking.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's the old thing.
Yeah, if it smells like fish, it's a dish. If it smells like cologne, leave it alone.
There you go.
All those things that like they taught you in the early days
when you were five. So the answer from Billy was peaches and cream. Your vagina tastes like peaches and cream. We're still awaiting the answer.
Right, it ain't pumpkin pie, but it's okay.
Excuse me, Joseph. We're still awaiting the answer from Giggles. Giggles, what does Billy's dick taste like? We'll wait. How many minutes do we go to break?
We don't have that long.
How many minutes do we go to break?
Let's see. Now we're down to two.
2 minutes?
Yeah.
We have a whole 2 minutes for her to give up an answer. Joe, play us for 2 minutes.
Okay.
Here we go.
By the way, do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
Not on this show. No. Nothing like that ever
happens.
Kiss
my ass.
Hey, she brought it up. I didn't do anything.
How did you get on this subject? It's not your fault, Billy.
I sat here.
Somehow it's my fault again.
Wait a minute. I sat here, and she said that you ate her out this morning. That's what she said.
No.
I did not bring that up at all. She did.
I didn't do that this morning.
Going to Giggles' answer, we have an answer on the board.
We have an answer.
The dick tastes like nothing. Maybe a little salty.
A little salty.
And the balls may smell musty.
Ooh.
If he doesn't shower. I still put them in my mouth, though. Congratulations.
Musty's a nice word, believe me.
He's not really a people person, is he?
Well, let's give Billy a round of applause. That was good, dude.
I must tell you, Billy, this is a woman who's worth giving up a life for.
Exactly. So, if you really want to be in this business, now you can't. Because she puts your musty balls in her mouth.
You can trade that for anything.
You can't go like on a resume and put that down. That's a keeper. That's a keeper.
Do we have to get a news flash every time your body does something?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm not coming to work today because my wife says it's...
My musty balls are in her mouth.
I have to stay home.
No. That means we gotta go to break, Billy?
Yeah,
why not? Want to get off your musty balls?
Please.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, actually, yeah, let me move them to the left. All right, yeah, we're off.
Get off my balls!
All right.
Oh, and right before we go to break, she wants us all to know, she swallows his load if it's... I swallow the loads, too, so it's not bad.
Well, good for you. Well, actually, in Roman days, it was considered, it's protein. Let's just say
it's protein. Yeah. That's how women would, they would get ready for their keto.
Yeah, it was a great essence. It was
what are you doing? I'm on the keto diet. I sucked down a nice load. That's what I'm doing. I'm working on my glutes. That's what I'm doing. 718-577-1389. Billy and his musty balls are going to have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what is today in history. It is a sad day, but a day we're going to honor a man that reshaped a lot of guys' lives.
Exactly.
When we come back, that was Billy giving a clue. We'll be right back after these words.
Ham radio.
Musty balls.
Patient.
Stand up philosophy.
What?
Stand-up philosophy. I coalesce the vapor of human experience into a viable and logical comprehension.
Oh,
A bullshit artist.
Okay, faggot, what's next?
Just in case you thought we were trained professionals, guess again. More after this.
The Unfiltered Radio Network, hamradioshow.com.
ED Publications has proudly been serving the adult nightclub industry for over 20 years with news and resources for the strip clubs and exotic dancers. Visit edpublications.com to find out more about their yearly ED Expo convention and awards, magazine subscription, and advertising offers.
Tootsie's Cabaret, located at 150 Northwest 183rd Street in Miami Gardens, Florida, is a 74,000-square-foot mega club with a 20,000-square-foot sports bar showing all major sporting and pay-per-view events. Tootsie's was voted the number one adult nightclub in 2012 and features full liquor bars and a full restaurant, open 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Missed an episode on the Ham Radio Show? Not to worry. You can download the latest episode, as well as past shows, on hamradioshow.com. Go to hamradioshow.com and click on the downloads link.
Come live the vivid experience in one of the hottest clubs in America and enjoy the best in adult entertainment. Party with the sexiest dancers and surround yourself with the most beautiful girls. Relax in an upscale atmosphere and enjoy the variety of first-class amenities our various clubs have to offer. Enjoy exclusive events and special promotions, live radio broadcasts and celebrity guest appearances, the hottest clubs from the name you know. Vivid Clubs comes in the night of your life.
Religion Tequila, the world's finest premium 100% organic tequila, using only the purest organic ingredients and time-tested distillation process to create a true reflection of our commitment and collaboration with nature. Journey to purity and perfection with Religion Tequila, our vision, our devotion, our religion. 100% organic handcrafted tequila by Religion Tequila. Visit them on the web at religiontequila.com. That's religiontequila.com.
This is Ham Radio.
Yo! Check us out!
Follow us, but not too close, on Twitter, twitter.com/Ham Radio Show.
On Demand Salon, ondemandsalon.com. Professional door-to-door hair and makeup services. Let the salon come to you. Whether you're getting a blowout, blowover two, blowover three, hell, bring in a blowout of four, it doesn't matter. Cut in style for special events, weddings, or whatever you need. On ondemandsalon.com. That's ondemandsalon.com. Prices and booking, 866-250-4145. That's 866-250-4145. On Demand Salon. ondemandsalon.com.
Aloha, this is Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Ed McMahon.
Hey, baby, this is Little Steven.
Hey, this is Alex Borstein from Fox's Family Guy.
Hey, this is Stone Cold Steve Austin. You're listening to Ham Radio, and that's the bottom line. Just Stone Cold said so.
Scott Tissue that I wish you saw. Side Captain, Mr. Know-It-All. I'll close your eyes and I'll kiss you, cuz with the birds I'll share.
Whisper the shell is the lonely.
Chili Peppers, Scar Tissue. It's the Ham Radio Show, 718-577-1389. Later on in the show, here come the judge.
Yeah!
Okay. Judge Herb Doodell will be on the show. He's the author of the book, From the Trench to the Bench. He will be on the show discussing legal matters and a whole bunch of shit that you guys are going to... If you have any legal questions, hit us up in the Facebook Live suite with your questions, because he's going to be talking about restraining orders. He's a big proponent of that, and he says more women should get them. We're going to talk to him later on in the show about that. And, of course...
Can you get, like, a restraining order, like, for a few hours? Like, you know,
well, let's ask him later.
When you want to go out all night?
Yeah. Like, you know, suppose you want to go to a party, right? And you got a restraining order against your wife, like, say, from 6 to 10.
Right.
Know, like that. This way you can go out for 4 hours and you come back and, you know,
One time when I was at a, when I was working my movie theater job, these two, man and a woman fighting outside, turns out that they had a restraining order against each other. But still went out on a date. So what happened was the fight brought the cop over. The cop was like, he looked up their names.
They both
got arrested because you broke the restraining order. The whole point of a restraining order is you stay.
Open a can of whoop ass,
buster. Damn right, you stay away from people. That's what it is. You stay away from them.
I think so. Yeah.
Usually.
Yep. Speaking of someone, by the way, who went away today. Do you see that segue? That was one. I get a bell for that. That was one hell of a segue.
Woo.
On today's date, Joe, in 1992.
Yes.
Actually, not on today's date.
Okay.
Because it's, actually, no, it is on today's date.
Okay.
I'm sorry. The article is written 2 days later. On today's date in 1992, Joe.
Yeah.
Do you know who passed away?
I don't know.
At the ripe old age of 38.
Oh, 38 in
1992?
1992. I don't know.
A very outstanding comedian.
John Belushi.
Who would make a noise like this.
Oh, Sam Kinison.
There you go.
Yeah, I loved Sam Kinison. He was great.
Yeah, Sam Kinison, the former tent preacher, passed away during a when he was sober, quite frankly. Because this is the article.
Automobile accident, right?
Yes, but an automobile accident when he was sober.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't
That's
driving.
That's the thing. He was in the car.
Right. Yeah.
No, because remember, his brother was on the show. We had Bill Kinison on this show,
That's
and he
right.
described the last night of Sam's life, and Sam was in the Corvette,
right?
And he went ahead of everybody. Ooh. And what happened was they were in a line of cars, and a drunk driver T-boned Sam Kennison's car. He was 38 years of age. His wife at
That's
the time.
It's ironic, isn't it? I mean, he was sober, and he was like noted for being quite a wild child.
Oh, he was. We were talking about coke during the break. Yeah. Me and Joe were talking about doing coke. During the break, and how Joe used to have a coke habit.
I love that.
And I've only put coke on my teeth.
Yeah.
And Joe was like, he was actually like surprised. He was like, you never did coke? And I'm like, hey, you want to do it? Like a father and son kind of thing?
Yeah.
We'll have a little moment.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, Sam used to do coke like it was nothing. Sam Kinison used to go on, he used to do a line of coke that probably about the size of his table. And then go on stage and perform all night long
because
he was so wired.
Absolutely.
And he performed.
An expected thing, like, oh, you're Sam Kinison. Here, do this much coke. And they would just throw it out for him.
Yeah.
On the Friday night when he was killed, he was on his way to the Riverside Resort Hotel and Casino in Laughlin, Nevada.
Vegas, yeah.
Yeah, when his car collided with a pickup truck on U.S. Highway 95, about 200 miles east of Los Angeles. Ooh. His wife, Malika, who, of course, you know Malika from the Sisters, the famous act, was in the car. She was also hurt. They were married only last Sunday. So this article was written when it happened.
Right.
So that means the Sunday went to the Friday he dies.
Yeah.
She was only married from Sunday to Friday.
Quickie.
To Sam Kinison, the late, great Sam Kinison.
Mm-hmm.
The California Highway Patrol said that it did not have a formal report and did not dispute the account of Mr. Kinison's spokeswoman, Florence Troutman, who said to Mr. Kinison's brother and manager, Bill, who has been on the show and talked about this very incident, had been following a van. She quoted him as saying that the accident occurred when the oncoming pickup tried to pass the other vehicle.
Ooh.
And the accident littered the road with beer cans and everything else because Kinison, yet again, sober, stone sober, when this happened. So on this day in 1992, we lost the late, great Sam Kinison 27 years ago, Joe. 27 years ago.
My, how time flies.
And I remember where I was the day I heard it. I was about to go play a soccer game the next day. So that Saturday morning, I heard about the passing of the late, great Sam Kinison.
How old are you? Well, you got to be like 9, 10 years old.
No, I was. All right, so I'm 39 now minus 27. What's 39 minus 27?
11, 12.
So I was 12 years of old. I was 12 years of old. That doesn't even fucking, that's not words. 12 years of age,
wow,
I was.
You were a child.
I was a child. I was yet an untouched vessel. Just a chubby cherub
and I was
trying to make his way through life, Joseph.
I was in my 50s.
Yes. And Joe was doing tons of coke, trying to live up to Sam Kinison, trying to. With that being said, to honor Sam, I have one of my favorite bits that Sam Kinison ever performed. And no, it is not the Hunger one, because that
I love that one.
No, because that one's been played by tons of people. However, is the one that what if Jesus had a wife? Listen to this, and we'll be right back.
It's an exciting story, but I read it, and I thought, I know Jesus was never married. Guy never had a wife. No, he was never married, because no wife would buy this story in 100 years. The disciples will, the believers will. No wife would buy this fucking story. Good luck. Good luck with this story. First of all, he leaves on Friday afternoon with 12 other guys. He's gone for 3 days. No message. No way to get in touch with her. He comes home Monday afternoon looking like he hasn't slept. This looks like he's partied out, man. And Mrs. Jesus is just waiting, going, okay, I guess it's day three of the show. Great. Well, I'm glad you can find your way home, Savior. Where's your 12 friends who won't get a job? How are they? Yeah, disciples, my ass. They're losers. Every one of them are using them. You're not even smart enough to know it. Anybody says, I believe, we put them up and feed them. I'm saying, where are you at? Jesus is going, I don't need this shit. Not after what I went through this weekend. No, honey, I'll tell you where I've been. Come here. Come here. I'll tell you where I've been. First of all, not that it ruined your weekend any, but I was dead! Do you understand that, you fucking bitch? I was dead! While you were sitting here on your ass, I'm in a grave outside of town. I'm fighting death, hell, decomposure. I'm about to come into spiritual form and go into the kingdom of God. I go, wait a second. I better go back because she doesn't know where I've been. So now I gotta fight the angel of death, get my fucking soul back, crawl out of the grave, come over to this shit because I missed you, honey!
Late great Sam Kinison, by far the best part of that, and I love it every fucking time I hear it, is when he says Mrs. Jesus is waiting at Mrs. Jesus is waiting on the lawn. She's waiting at home, and she's waiting. Oh my God!
Yeah, he was a guy.
Nathan in the Facebook Live suite with the they're my friends. They're all losers. Disciples, my ass. They're all losers. So, yes, the late, great Sam Kinison. It sucks that 27 years ago today he passed away.
A little tribute
because I felt like he reshaped. I think he more than anyone, him, Dice, I would say him, Dice, Bobcat Goldquaid, Gilbert, if you want to use fictional characters, Al Bundy. I honestly think that these are what we grew up with. Mm-hmm. To when we were discussing men, we were just discussing how men need to act like men. Right. And this is where we're acting like men. In fact, next week on the show, Dante Nero coming on the show, because Dante has he's starting a school up.
Okay.
A program called Man School to teach men how to be men.
Manly men.
And I understand in this world of toxic masculinity that everybody wants to use buzzwords and throw this out and act as if being a man is a bad thing, supposedly, nowadays. And I don't understand why is.
What's the definition of a man?
Well, that's the thing.
A lot of people define it different ways.
Exactly. But being a man and manning up, so to speak, hashtag man up, for real doesn't mean anything other than the fact that you could be gay, straight, bi. It doesn't matter. It means taking responsibility. Well, it means not just folding like a fucking deck of cards.
Doing the fucking right thing.
There's the rub, though. What's the right thing?
The right thing is taking care of your family. Your wife can do the same thing. Right. Look, this is not you're a fucking woman. You should be in the kitchen cooking. No, this is be a man. Ooh. Be a man. Stop being a little bitch and be a man.
Father, huh?
Well, because you have that fucking that old school mentality.
Well, that was the way it was. You know, my father could be standing next to the sink. He'd tell my mother to get him a drink of water. That's the way it was.
Yeah, but that's, see that is an archaic thing.
Yeah.
To me, and to actually make.
But
that,
it wasn't done out of disrespect. It was just the way things were. I mean, it was common practice of my mother to say, "Joe, what do you want for dinner tomorrow night?" And you know, and she would have what he wanted for dinner.
Right, but she would also put out her hand to get the money for it, go shopping and buy it that day.
Absolutely, yeah.
But that was different. That was also
providing.
Yeah, that was also a time where she was not providing. She was just there. That was her job.
That's true.
her job was to clean and cook and take care of the kids.
Which, first off,
is a fucking titanic job. Mm-hmm, it is not a small fucking job. It is not a job that you just, you know, you're just a housewife and you stay home. No, that is different. Like, she's not Peg Bundy sitting on her ass making sure the couch
is. She wasn't watching the programs on TV.
Things were very different then. I mean, you're right when you say you had to go shopping every day.
Yeah.
You know, for the meal for the night, because, you know.
That was after the wash was done. Yeah. The kids were sent to school. Yeah. Maybe
you cleaned up the house a little bit. You ironed husband's suits.
Absolutely.
And dress shirts.
You know,
because he was going to the office to bring home the bacon.
Even if it wasn't to the office. Like, my father worked in a factory, but he had dressed up in a suit every day to go to work, changed into his factory clothes. At the end of the day, he changed back into his suit and come home on the train. Now, everybody did that.
Yep.
That was, like, you know, it wasn't like today where, you know, we dress. Where we dress, you know.
If anybody dresses up to go to work, you're like, wait,
even to travel on the train, you dressed up. Yeah. To go to a movie, you dressed up.
Well, that was also when people actually had self respect.
Well, it was
people
different.
Stopped having self respect a long fucking time ago.
Goddamn hippies!
Motherfuckers leave the house in pajama bottoms, and I saw a woman. I swear to God,
flip-flops.
Oh no, fuck flip flops.
Wait,
no, fuck flip flops. Flip flops is fine. You're on your way to work. I saw a woman in fuzzy slippers today.
Oh.
Fuzzy fuckings, as if she didn't take them off,
right.
Drove to
she
the ferry.
She probably forgot that she
got
had them
on. Got on the ferry, walked with the fuzzy slippers on the ferry.
Yeah.
And obviously then took a train to her job.
Sure. Probably has shoes in a locker there or something. I don't know. But, you know, that's just the way it was. You know, you dressed. Every Sunday you got dressed. You didn't wear your regular clothes on Sunday. You had Sunday clothes because you went to church.
Nathan in the Facebook Live stream pointing out that he's the one at home and he's watching and fold his laundry.
Okay.
So, I mean,
you're a house husband.
Nathan is not being a man. That's
he's
my point.
He's doing what needs to be done.
And Nathan, absolutely. Toxic masculinity doesn't exist. It's just a made up bullshit that everyone wants to throw out because people don't like the fact that, you know, men are men, women are women, we all work together in this, and we try to get it done. That is, you can't tell somebody they can't be something. That, you know what I mean? Like, if they want to be, like, even like we're talking about transgenders, and I say it all the time. If they want to act like a man, be a fucking man. I don't care. The fact that I was with them, act like a man. Go out there, if you want to be a woman, be a woman. I don't give a shit what you want to be in your gender, but be that fucking gender. Go out there and do the fucking thing. Don't be just all talk, no action. Yeah, that's what I want. 718-577-1389. It's the Ham Radio Show.
He wants it, boys.
Just to go to the finish up on Sam Kinison, he was also, he starred in a situation comedy on Fox, and I didn't even remember this.
I didn't know that.
Charlie Hoover. So it was that season. So the 1992 season, they gave him a show, and little fun fact, he was supposed to be Al Bundy. The original people that was written for were Sam Kinison and Roseanne Barr. He was supposed to be Al Bundy. She was supposed to be Peg Bundy.
That would have been a great job.
That was the original thing. That's why when they did the episode where This Is a Wonderful Life episode, mm-hmm, where Al almost dies hanging Christmas lights and gets electrocuted and gets visited by the angel, is Sam Kinison. That's why. So God bless Sam Kinison. God bless Bill Kinison and everyone in the Kinison family. And if I could, maybe that's the fat guy that follows me around that the psychic was talking about. Because I always feel a connection to Kinison. Yeah. I really do. I feel a connection to Sam Kinison, and not just because I'm loud and I yell a lot. Ooh. I think a lot of shaped a lot of people's lives in that time period. Yes, I am loud. Oh. The same way you're dumb, I'm loud. That's
oh, okay.
It's our roles on this show. Ooh. It's what
it's
we
what
do.
We do. Yes.
Billy, what's my clock, sir?
It's the little round thing on your wrist.
Okay, I don't have one on my wrist.
Oh,
that would be a, first of all, that would be a watch.
Yeah, but it's a clock.
Not a clock.
6:45.
Hey, hey, how do I know you're not Flavor Flav in it, man?
Flavor Flav!
I don't know.
He's another one. I don't know if I'm ever going to see again. Because with Dennis Hoff dead,
well, sure, right. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm ever going to be invited. Oh, yeah. To the. I'm pretty sure this year.
The circle is broken.
I'm pretty sure this year we're going to have some form of a remembrance of his life.
Birthday celebration.
For his birthday. Yeah. And it should be biggest party they've ever thrown.
Ooh.
Because that would be the only thing that is fitting of Dennis Hoff.
No.
And we'll see what happens. I mean, I have a jam-packed summer coming up. I'm going to be on a cruise.
Ooh, what are you cruising to?
I am cruising to a lot of places that I don't remember the names.
Okay.
I know Bermuda.
Newark, Jersey City.
Well, you know, I got the pirates out there now. You got to be careful.
They've been out there for years.
No, but they're really getting bad now. They're taking over these cruise ships and things
the
like that.
The pirates are not fucking taking over cruise ships.
They are. They're taking over cruise ships.
You got to be in certain areas for that to happen.
Yeah, around where the Africans are or something like that.
Oh, my God.
No, it's true. No. Didn't you see
Yes,
Captain
but you
Ryan
tread in dangerous water anytime you start mentioning the Africans.
No, it's
just
it's,
you.
It's in the news. I didn't make it up yet.
Yet.
Bazinga.
I'm so afraid of
I
you.
Know what you're thinking.
I know what you're thinking.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Damn right.
No.
So what's our clock? Because we have
I'm
the judge.
Captain now.
We have the judge at 7.
Correct. Yeah. We do have...
Do we have time?
Time listed there, here. Yeah, we should be able to pull this off and... Give it
Holy fuck,
eight
it's
minutes.
A time.
All right, 7 minutes
You're
now.
You're staring at the clock.
Yes, but I
got to
factor in different things over here and over here.
Billy, take us behind the curtain. What are we factoring?
The producer.
I have no idea what the music on the way back in is. With what
we're
going to do.
We're going to dump
where
it
starts,
I'm
going to
tell you exactly what we're going to do. We're going to dump out of whatever fucking music.
Right.
And then we're going to play something in honor of the judge coming
Correct.
On the show. The judge, who, by the way, the author, Judge Herb Doodell.
Yeah.
I got to ask him, by the way, if I'm saying
the
his last name right.
What's the name of his book again?
His book is called From the Trench to the Bench.
Oh, that's right. Yes. The Trench
Wait,
to the Bench.
It has a full title. Hold on. Let's read the title.
That helps.
And we'll show the book on camera.
Hold it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nice
From
book.
The Trench to the Bench. Let me read the thing. Navigating the Legal System and Finding Your Spiritual Path Along the Way.
Oh, yep. Spiritual.
And this is this is the judge. Here we go. Let's bring him in there. There's mm-hmm. the judge.
Does that mean we can't say bad words?
You can say bad words.
Well, he said spiritual. That's religious.
Spiritual does not mean Doodell.
It's all about God.
I'm being told Doodell.
What's a Doodell?
That's his last name, fuckhead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was like we say Budell. Budell means you could never fight or something, you know. Well, that's just what it means.
I just like throwing shit at you.
Okay. And I like receiving it.
I know you do.
So good.
Oh, great.
Thank you, sir, man. Have another.
That's what worries me.
Let's go live to Joe's penis.
Whoa!
718-577-1389.
You know, my penis ain't what it used to be.
Trust me, we know.
I know, yeah.
Giggle said that your musty balls,
for
she
sure.
will never put in her mouth.
I can imagine, honey. So, I wouldn't sound my worst enemy.
Also, maybe. Then on the 24th, by the way, a little filler for you. Then on the 24th, we have Spank Bank Girl of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
Ginger Bank.
Yes.
We'll be here. I love Ginger Banks. I've never seen Ginger Banks not have sex.
Oh, really?
Everything she posts on Twitter.
When she comes here, she won't have any.
I bet you she loves. No, I bet really? You that there'll be somebody there, or she will masturbate live on the air because that's the type of gal she is.
Oh, we haven't played Masturbate Theater in
so
a
let's
long
play
time.
Let's make Joe happy on the 24th.
We'll play Masturbate.
We'll play Masturbate Theater. I believe also next week, speaking of guys who masturbate, bisexual Marcus.
Yeah.
Hot granny sex.
Yeah, hot granny sex. He does enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll stop by because he's in love with Dante Nero.
Oh.
So we'll talk about man school next week with Dante Nero. Bisexual Marcus.
Okay.
I believe White Rick is also coming.
White Rick, yeah. Yeah, we're going to have house full. Black Rick, right?
Black Rick should be here when we come back with Judge Herb. Yeah. So it's a, I mean, we're fucking firing on all cylinders.
I tell you, baby.
We're doing well.
We're going all crazy. Yeah. By the way, Giggle says that your Joe's balls are Tony Clifton's territory. Now, I don't know if...
Not anymore, baby.
I don't think that Tony Clifton has ever sucked on Joe's balls.
No, never.
Has she ever blown you?
Never.
Okay. She's never blown you?
Well, I can't say that on the air.
So that's a yes. Okay. Has she ever sucked on your balls?
I can't say that.
That's a no. She's never... Because balls are a little hardcore. Mm-hmm. If a girl, like... Because I don't imagine... That Tony Clifton goes, I can imagine her going like on his birthday and maybe Christmas. That's about it.
It has to be like an anniversary birthday.
Yeah, like oh, happy.
Like I'm going to be 75 next year. Maybe then, you know, that'll be a big one. Or maybe my 100th birthday, something like that.
You're not making it to 100. You're not making it to 100.
I can make it to 100.
You're not making it to
100.
He will.
I could.
Joe's going to outlive all of us.
Look at me, man. I'm in good shape.
He's going to definitely outlive you.
Yeah.
But I can't say outlive me.
Yeah, I never took steroids.
And it shows.
You don't know what you're missing.
All right.
Yeah, I know.
718.
Did a lot of coke, though.
Sorry, did a lot of coke. 718-577-1389. Let's take a break. Let's regroup. Let's play some music when we come back in honor of Judge Herb. Let's do it all the right way. Because it's a ham radio show, which today is keyword, # Musty Balls. We'll be right back.
Musty Balls.
After these words.
Which ones? These?
These.
This is Ham Radio.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
The Unfiltered Radio Network. HamRadioShow.com.
On Demand Salon. OnDemandSalon.com. Professional door-to-door hair and makeup services. Let the salon come to you. Whether you're getting a blowout, blowover 2, blowover 3, hell, bring in a blowout of 4, it doesn't matter. Cut in style for special events, weddings, or whatever you need. On OnDemandSalon.com. That's OnDemandSalon.com. Prices and booking, 866-250-4145. That's 866-250-4145. On Demand Salon. OnDemandSalon.com.
One of the best-kept secrets in Palm Beach is Monroe's Legends Lounge, a VIP club providing intimate private atmosphere that caters to upscale clientele, offering fine dining and a large variety of top-shelf cocktails, fine cigars, wine, and champagne. Members experience a truly five-star experience where they can enjoy Monroe's signature 36-ounce ribeye tomahawk steak or their famous seafood tower. Watch and listen to the top sporting events and all UFC fights on the large flat-screen TVs. With a dimly lit wood grain decor, the bar features a two-way mirror allowing members to get an unbelievable view of both live stages inside Monroe's Palm Beach. The Legends Lounge offers a private entrance with parking accessible to members. Located at 1000 North Congress Avenue in West Palm Beach, Florida. For more information, go to monroespalmbeach.com.
Bold, creative, realist, problem solver. Those are just a couple of the words that describe Dr. Deborah Lena. Straight talk and straight answers to you about sex. Dr. Deb keeps it real. She teaches practical sexuality solutions to resolve everyday challenges for everybody at every age. Board and certified sexologist, couples and marriage therapist, international speaker and workshop leader, author, major media contributor are just some of the things that Dr. Deb is capable of. So hook up with her for media appearances, speaking engagements, workshops, and seminars. Contact Dr. Deborah Lano's office at 302-476-9577. That's 302-476-9577. Or hit her up at yoursexdoc.com. That's yoursexdoc.com.
The Tony Batman's Entertainment News is a website dedicated to bringing you all the news that is sexy. Everything you need to know from the gentlemen's club industry, adult movie industry, music, and sexy celebrity updates. Check out one of the top 10 adult news sites in the world at entertainmentnews.com or simply tonybatman.com. The Entertainment News is updated for your viewing pleasure 10 to 12 times a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. If it's sexy and entertaining, it's on the Entertainment News.
Tootsie's Cabaret, located at 150 Northwest 183rd Street in Miami Gardens, Florida, is a 74,000 square foot mega club with a 20,000 square foot sports bar showing all major sporting and pay-per-view events. Tootsie's was voted the number one adult nightclub in 2012 and features full liquor bars and a full restaurant, open 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Missed an episode of the Ham Radio Show? Not to worry. You can download the latest episode, as well as past shows, on hamradioshow.com. Go to hamradioshow.com and click on the downloads link.
This is Bob Saget, and my dog licked my balls. What's the story of your life? You're listening to Ham Radio.
All my friends are heathens, take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know. Please don't make any sudden moves. You don't know the half of the abuse. Welcome to the room of people who have rooms of people that they love one day. Docked away. Just because we check the guns at the door doesn't mean our brains are
changed. Yeah, he the cool up swing. It's just about ready to do that thing. I don't want no tears, I don't want no lies. Above all, I don't want no alibis. This judge is hip, and that ain't all. He'll give you time if you're big or small. Fall in line or this coat is neat. Peace, brother.
Oh, here come the judge. Here come the judge. Everybody know that he is the judge.
Your next door neighbor. Out of this courtroom. Out of this courtroom.
Judge, your honorship high, sir. Did I hear you say order in the court?
Yes, I said order.
Well, I'll take two gallons of beer, please.
Remember me?
No, who are you, boy?
Well, I'm the fella that introduced you to your wife.
To my wife?
Yeah.
Life, you son of a gun. Everybody know I am the judge.
Yeah!
That was funny shit, man.
I see, that's old school, baby.
Pig Meat Markham.
Pig Meat Markham, the Here Come the Judge, also played by Flip Wilson, Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of different cuts for it. But let's get an actual judge on the phone. Let's get that going. Yes, play me a little ditty, if you will be so kind, Joseph.
Let's go. I'm the law.
Yeah. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Ringing Judge Herb. Let's get Judge Herb on the phone. Herb Doodell, author of the...
Hello.
Hi, I'm looking for Judge Herb Doodell.
How about Doodell?
How about Doodell?
That's better. Welcome to Ham Radio.
Welcome, Judge. I was going to ask how the hell to say your last name. So, Doodell.
Now you know.
What a guy. I like this guy already.
Uh-huh.
Straightforward. Judge Doodell. I'm just going to call him Judge Herb right now. Judge Herb.
Yeah, I like that better. It's the one I've been using most of the time.
Oh, what have you been using?
Well, I wrote the book. It's Judge Herb Doodell.
Yes.
And I'm referred to as Judge Herb by many people. Judge Herb works.
Can I call you Your Honor?
You can call me anything, but don't call me late to dinner.
There you go.
Okay.
That's my boy making the old rim shot up in his son of a bitch.
I could do some stand-up, you know, if you have nothing else.
Yeah. We'll let you do about 15 minutes of stand-up if you want. You got a hot 15?
I got 15 for sure.
There you go. He's not just a judge, ladies and gentlemen. He also does stand-up. From the trench to the bench is the book. Let's put it on camera. From the trench to the bench.
Yeah.
Right here, Judge Herb Dedell. There you go. Right there, beautiful book. Also, the underlined part under trench to the bench, navigating the legal system and finding your spiritual path along the way. Judge Herb, what do you mean by that statement, the spiritual way? What do you mean by that?
Well, most people have very little familiarity with the legal system, only what they see on TV or they saw in the movies. Mm-hmm. They really don't know how it really works from the inside. And one of the reasons for the book was I spent many, many years as a trial lawyer, as a prosecutor, as a defense lawyer, as a plaintiff's lawyer, and I was appointed in 2008, so I've been on the bench actively for about 10 years. And I thought, well, it's time to tell the public how it really works. You know, what really goes on behind the scenes? What do judges really think about? How do you hire a lawyer? What do you, if you do if you get arrested? What happens if somebody serves you with a notice, a 3-day notice to quit your property? The public has no real perception. And in fact, recently the California Supreme Court said that a very, very large percentage of litigants are self-represented. And that's a big problem. And I've had that in my court many times where they just don't know what's going on. And I'm not allowed to give any legal advice, not permitted. And the reason for that is because if I give legal advice to one side, it looks like I'm taking a side.
Yeah,
I can't do that. I can give them procedural things that you need to do this and you need to do that, but the public has no real clue as to what goes on, and I thought it would be time to tell them. So if they're going to be self-represented, if that's what they're going to do, at least they have some expectation of what is reasonably likely or probably or possibly is going to happen. And I use all the cases that are in there. They're all real cases, every one of them, are illustrations to show that if it happened to somebody else, it could happen to you. You know, especially this section on criminal law, where I talk about it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you just got busted. What do you do next? What's bail? How do you get it? Do you need a lawyer? Is it going to make a big difference? What are you facing? So that's the purpose of the book, is to educate the public, number one, give them information.
Yeah.
Number two, give them real good stories, good illustrations. And I presided over restraining order cases for about 6 years.
All right.
So there's some great stories and some guidelines as what to do, and then tie it all together spiritually as to how you can make your life better if you're stuck in the system.
All right,
that's
so
what it's about.
We're gonna get to the restraining orders because I find that very intriguing. A lot of people have come to me asking what and how, because I got a lot of women who are going to divorces, plus also women against me. So I want to know the loopholes if I can get past restraining orders. We'll get to that in a minute. But I think that what you're doing here is a great idea because, Judge Herb, you're doing something that I don't think people literally get a chance to have, and that's free legal advice.
Yeah.
And understand.
No. I don't give legal advice.
No. I'm saying protocol and procedure-wise advice. That's what I mean. People are dumb as dog shit, and what happens is they watch like an episode of SVU, and they think they can defend themselves in a court of law, and that, to me, is a scary thought. When you just said there are a lot of people in your courtroom standing there before the judge, before the honor, the guy that's going to
decide
your life or death in this situation on certain cases, and somebody wants to represent themselves because they think they have an understanding or a maybe some knowledge that they think they picked up by watching L.A. Law reruns,
yeah.
That is a scary thought. But this book will give you kind of a step-by-step kind of tutorial of what the hell you need to do. Like you just pointed out, 3 a.m. in the morning, and you get busted for some reason, you're going to need to know what to do. You're going to need to know where to go, who to talk to. What do I do? What's the next step in this kind of process? And I think that's what this book, From the Trench to the Bench, is like the best thing for that. It's kind of like an encyclopedia of what to do, where to go, who to talk to, and that's a big deal.
It's actually law for, it's like law for the dummies, you know?
Yeah. Right. And trust us, we're all stupid.
Yeah.
So we need to know these things. I mean, people like you have went to law school. You learned. You passed the bar. You became an attorney. You became a judge. You have done all these things because you learned. We're not going to go out there half-assed and try to get into a court of law and go, Your Honor, I'm going to defend myself today. That is literally just a recipe for disaster.
Well, you know, there's an old quote. He who represents himself as a fool for a client.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Yeah, but doesn't common sense sometimes prevail in a court? I mean, if you explain your case and, you know, isn't it a common sense thing if a man is innocent or a man is guilty?
Yeah, but it's legal procedure, Joe.
But the facts are presented in a certain way. Common sense should prevail. I mean, is he guilty? Is he not guilty? You know, what's what?
Not always.
Well,
right, Judge?
Well, if you thought you're talking criminal cases only now. Civil cases are very different.
Yeah. Okay.
And in many cases, and I'll give you an example.
Please do.
I had in front of me a very famous NBA basketball star from the old day. And he was about to be evicted. He bought a $7 million home and things changed and he couldn't make the payments and he was throwing them out.
Sure.
He had a potentially legitimate defense to the foreclosure, to the eviction, but he didn't know what it was.
Oh.
And I couldn't tell him. I knew because I had had cases like that in the past and had used a certain technique and procedure, and I had even cleared it with the supervising judge because I wanted to make sure I was right in doing what I was doing, and I was. But he didn't represent himself, and I said to him, get yourself a lawyer.
Yeah.
I can't give you any legal advice. Get yourself a lawyer. I'll give you 2 weeks. Go get yourself a lawyer. Come back in 2 weeks.
All right, so you...
Come back in 2 weeks. No lawyer.
So you can stop...
And I ended up throwing him out. You know, I didn't want to, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Judge Herb, you can stop the proceedings. If you know that somebody, this is now my question, you can, like you just said, you sent them, like, hey, go back 2 weeks, come back here. If you know that they are screwing up, have you ever done that before?
Where's the justice in that?
Well, the justice is the fact that, like, when you have somebody who you know is not going to, they need somebody to tell them
to
what
to sure
do.
To make sure they're not taking advantage
of.
Yeah,
because then they're being taken advantage of by the other side, too.
It's not only the pro pers, the people that appear for themselves. I mean, I remember one case where I had to decide the constitutionality of a statute.
Mm-hmm.
And I had both parties there, and it was a young lawyer representing a party, and he didn't include one of the grounds for his defense.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't include it at all. And I said to him, you know, your complaint is, or your opposition is defective. I can't tell you why, but it's defective. I'm going to give you a week, go out and figure it out. You want me to address the constitutionality of a statute? You have to ask me to do that.
Yeah.
And he came back 2 weeks later, and he did that. And at least he got, I didn't tell him what to do, but he figured it out. And there are a lot of lawyers who are as bad as the pro pers. They don't know either.
Sure.
Well, that's the thing that Judge Herbert's trying to say, Joe. What he's saying is he's giving them enough rope to hang themselves. He's saying go out there.
I know. What I'm differing about is the fact that the judge knows that the guy has an illegal out. And he's
but
not
he can't tell them.
Why not?
Can't because tell him.
You're that's sw- you're, you
not
have,
allowed
he,
to.
He has to be impartial. See, Judge Herb has to be impartial. He has to. He can't go and tell the one side, hey, you know, if you do this, you'll win.
I understand it's an adversarial system. You have one side against the other side, and the judge has got to be
impartial.
Look at
Joe. Big words, adversarial.
But what's happening there is,
good job.
You know, the judge, who's basically the supreme being there, has the right to say, hey, wait a minute, guys, this is what's right. This guy has a legal defense. He should be out of this charge. And I'm the boss.
Yeah, but this
so
guy,
I'm telling you
I'm
where it's at.
Judge Herb is the guy wearing the robe. I'm going to trust Judge Herb over Judge Joe.
Well, you know, I'm not saying, no, I know what the judge is saying.
Yeah,
the judge has like, got to follow a certain legal procedure, but does that procedure have to be right?
But if you want that, then you go to Judge Judy.
Okay.
You go to that. You get somebody's opinion
true.
In there.
And,
yeah.
and though Judge Herb does look good in a pearl necklace.
Okay.
I will say.
Hey, you know, Judy's got a great show.
Yeah.
She's got a shtick. and that's terrific for her.
It's a fun
show. Her cases are dramatizations. Mine are real.
Yeah. Right.
We do make a difference, and we make a decision. It could, in some cases it does, make a difference in people's lives. We're very cautious about that. But you have to distinguish between what's a discretionary call versus a legal call. Yeah. Many times we're given discretion to do or not to do something. For example, a lady came in, she'd been served, and there was a writ of possession, meaning she was about to be thrown out. It was the day before Christmas. She came in and asked for 2 weeks, additional time. Mm-hmm. And so I stayed the execution for 2 weeks to give her enough time so she wouldn't have to be living in a car over the holidays.
Sure.
That's a discretionary call.
Right.
That's never going to be disturbed on appeal.
No.
But if you make a decision that's legally wrong, that's what gets appealed. No.
And that's why he became Judge Happy Holidays Herb.
You know what my clerk said to me as I was getting off the bench? She said to me, you're a real softy. That was her actual language. I said, maybe I am, but I'm not putting the lady in a car for 2 weeks during the holidays.
There
good for you. Good for
and
you.
I got the discretion to do it, and I'm going to do it. And I did.
Well, I guess that makes you the judge, doesn't it? God damn it.
I guess so. Look, there's a lot of excitement that goes on in the courtroom. People don't realize. But it's also an awesome responsibility that we have to make sure that we do justice. You know, that's what this is really all about. Some judges are not so terrific about it. I can't say all my colleagues are fabulous judges. Some of them are not too bright.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a real big gamble when you are in a lawsuit because you don't know what you're going to get. It's like Forrest Gump said, you know, it's like a box of chocolate. You don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
And since you don't know in advance of what you're going to get because you don't know, or what jury you're going to get because those 12 people could be 12 different people, that's why you settle cases, because we try to eliminate or at least reduce the uncertainty of it all.
Well, that's
that makes people less anxious and less stressed, because at least they have a sense of where it's going and what is likely or probably or possibly going to happen, whether it's civil or criminal. Restraining order cases are a breed of their own.
That's why I have it in
they
my
really
hand.
Are.
I have the article by Judge Herb right here. Called Restraining Orders, The Serious Truth Behind the Law, where you point out kind of step-by-step of what actually, you know, happens, what can happen, what doesn't happen, what can be done, what can't be done. It's all right here. I mean, it's a great article and everything else. And to break down, your whole thing is that you have been discussing restraining orders because you... Now, do you feel like people don't understand the concept or when to get a restraining order? Or what is your...
I think it's a combination of things. You know, I started off by, when I first got assigned to that department, I was reading what they call applications or petitions for temporary restraining orders, in which there's only one party present. And they could say whatever they want. We don't even go into the courtroom. We read them in the chambers.
Right.
And then I moved up and started doing all the trials, all the hearings. And I've done hundreds of them.
Mm-hmm.
And people do it for a lot of ego reasons, many of which are junk. A lot of times they just want a place they could go to court because it's free. Ultimately, it's free if you check the box.
Yeah.
There's a box that allows you to get a fee waiver. And I wrote that article because I had heard so many cases and was getting so much involved in so many issues. We ended up with a lot of free speech issues because a lot of cases were trying to get other people to basically to shut up. And... In fact, I had Gloria Allred was seeking a restraining order in my court.
Oh, really?
Somebody was harassing her with texts every day, hundreds of them. I granted the restraining order.
Well, she needs probably one a day. It's Gloria Allred. All right, let's not...
No comment.
All right, okay.
No comment.
Your Honor, you can plead the fifth, but I'll tell you right now, that lady has ambulance chaser written all over her, sir. And I will prove that one day in court. The fact of the matter is, though, with the restraining order, I do have a serious question, but yet not a serious question, but I do want to ask this of Judge Herb, the author, by the way, of From the Trench to the Bench. It's a great book. It's going to help you out if you need some legal knowledge. This is the guy you want to talk to, because Judge Herb breaks it down so you can fucking understand it. And if you need some inspiration, behind why things are the way they are, this is the guy you want to talk to. So let me ask this. If you have a restraining order and they say that you can't come 500 feet near somebody, like if Billy gets a restraining order against me, he says, the restraining order says, Your Honor, Judge Herb, we're getting this. It's signed off by the judge. It says 500 feet. I can't come within 500 feet of Billy. If I count and I'm at 499.
Oh.
No, seriously. Am I in breach of the thing, or is that okay enough? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm...
Look, it's very literal.
That's what I'm saying.
500 feet is 500 feet. If you 499 is not 500.
Boom, I'm going to jail.
It's a technical violation.
See?
What would anybody do about it? It depends on the circumstances. I've had them coming back because people can always modify some of these restraining orders. Mm-hmm. They are very, very, very damaging if you have one on your record.
Yes.
It can keep you from getting a job. It can keep you from getting back into the country under certain circumstances.
Oh, really?
It affects your credit, I'm told. This is a very serious thing, plus you got to give up your gun.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
And ammunition.
Yeah, I mean,
these are very serious. Some of these restraining order cases are very, very serious.
Oh.
I've had rape cases and child molestation cases. I had one case where the lady came in with her phone, and she was able to show me that she had received from another person, the person against whom she was seeking the restraining order.
Mm-hmm.
The girl was sitting on the floor with a beer bottle in one hand and a gun in the other with a little comment like, you're next or something.
Wow.
You know I granted that one.
Yeah.
Because there was a potential serious continuing course of conduct that could have ended up with a real problem. But a lot of people yelling and screaming at each other because they're neighbors and they can't get along, that's short shrift. I once asked my clerk, I said, I know we're not keeping track, but what percentage of the cases did you say that I grant the restraining order? She said about 5%.
Wow.
Really?
But on the temporary restraining orders, it's different because people come in, they fill out a form, and they say whatever they want to say, true or untrue. We don't know how true or untrue it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no examination of the witness. It's one-sided. If we grant a temporary restraining order, it's on your record forever, and you can't get it off.
Wow.
Whether you win or you don't win, it's there forever.
It's like the scarlet letter, man. It just stays with you.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, with access to public records, and this is a public record, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody knows. It could end up on social media or whatever. It's not something you want.
No.
That's why I granted them infrequently. And, in fact, in restraining order cases, the burden of proof, which oftentimes determines the outcome of any case, the burden of proof is what's called clear and convincing evidence. It's not preponderance evidence, which is civil burden, and it's not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's somewhere in between, but it's a higher burden. And unless I'm convinced, really convinced, I don't grant them. I'm not doing them anymore. I'm now doing small claims. But restraining orders are very serious, very, very serious matters.
Well, you're also now the legal... you're our legal team, quite frankly, now, just so you know that, Judge Herb. from the trial...
I don't know if that's a good thing or not a good thing, but I accept.
It ain't either way. Okay. Ricky, you have a question for Judge Herb, author of the book From the Trench to the Bench. Ricky, what do you got for him?
Yeah, I have... This is my question. Let's say a woman accuses a man of rape.
You're guilty!
Right? Now, he ends up going to jail for 6-7 years, whatever. Then they find out that the woman lied.
All that DNA evidence.
Do you think, in these cases, in your opinion, shouldn't a woman do time for this? If this man lost 6 or 7 years of his life,
and
shouldn't that woman...
On a lie.
Shouldn't this woman go to jail?
Well, first of all, I'm not the legislature. If the legislature thought that should happen, they would pass legislation to provide for it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that woman doesn't have a civil liability for causing damages. That's a remedy.
Yeah.
As far as going to jail for it, presumably, if she was lying, that's a perjury.
Mm-hmm.
Perjury is a crime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you can prove perjury, it was an untrue statement, the party making it knew it was an untrue statement, they did it under oath, that's a crime. It could be prosecuted for perjury. I used to be a deputy district attorney. I never saw a perjury case pressed.
Hmm.
It's one of those things that people do it all the time, especially in civil cases. They lie all the time.
That's the sad part. Nobody ever
does anything about it. Rarely does anybody ever do anything about it. I suppose you could.
Yeah, you should. Someone should do something about it.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
and by the way, when you talk about male and female violence, you have to distinguish between restraining orders, which comes under a different code section, from domestic violence, which is heard in the family court.
Right.
And that's a different burden of proof. If it's a domestic violence case, the burden of proof is only by a preponderance of the evidence, meaning in layman's terms.
Yeah, I was going to say, dumb it down, Judge.
More probable than not, more likely than not.
All right.
Different burden of proof.
So really what it comes down to is that, to Rick's question, is no matter what, at the end of the day, you can go after libel, civil court,
mm-hmm.
where just like with the OJ thing. OJ was found not guilty, but then they went after him civilly. So you can get some form of restitution,
the probability of you
getting them to get in, you know, in a cell themselves is probably not going to happen, which I agree, Ricky, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. If someone shouts rape, like shouting fire in a theater, and there is no fire, and there is no rape at that point, and this guy did not do it, or even reverse it, man to a woman, either way, if you don't have any evidence, and there's nothing to prove it, but yet the guy's still found guilty, you know, there's a lot of guys in prison right now saying the same shit.
Well, you have to look at the representation too.
Yeah.
Now, when you say guilty, you're talking only criminal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Civil cases, there's no guilt or innocence. It's liability. What happened to O.J. Simpson was he got sued for wrongful death.
Mm-hmm.
He lost. And as part of any case under Section 1202 is a section entitled restitution. And a victim of a criminal event can get restitution from the party causing that event. So in the hypothetical where there was a basic perjury, part of the recovery is the potential of civil damages as well. Happens all the time. Victims come back after a conviction or a plea, either way, and they seek restitution for the damages they sustained. That's part of the criminal judgment. Many times, restitution is included as a requirement or as a condition to probation.
Right.
Now, Judge Herb...
And forces people to pay, otherwise they're going to go sit it out.
Judge Herb, is this stuff that you can learn in maybe a book called From the Trench to the Bench?
Pretty much you can. In fact, there's a whole chapter on restraining orders, Chapter 2. And it's pretty thorough. I made sure. I wrote a longer article, which you have not seen.
Oh, I have 13
pages. For the judges and for the lawyers. But the article that you're referring to, I wrote for the public.
Okay.
But it's still very, very explicit. Same thing with small claims court. People don't have a clue what's going to happen. And in small claims court, I've handled thousands. I've presided over thousands of cases. And it's a whole different world in small claims court than it is in a regular court. This is a book that you should have on the shelf in case you ever need it. Not that you're going to sit down and read it from cover to cover. You may not be interested in criminal law. You may not be interested in how a lawsuit is handled. You may not be interested in what judges do or how they think. You may not be interested in the lawyers. But you may be interested in a particular subject. It's going to be covered. Generally covered. It's not that overly long, but I pretty much talk in layman's terms. I don't use any technical terms. Everything that I use that's technical, I explain in layman's terms, and I try to make it as easy to read as I can.
And there's a lot of articles in the back of the book too, like and stuff too.
Have you for example,
somebody appealed me on a restraining order that I granted. It took it up to the Court of Appeals to see if they could get it reversed. I was affirmed, by the way, by the Court of Appeals.
Ooh.
And I put a copy of the opinion in the back of the book
so you can see
what an opinion from an appellate court looks like.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. This book is not a how-to, it's a what-if. That's the thing, it's a what-if. Shit goes down, here you go. You need to learn some stuff.
Be prepared.
And answer this thing. Ricky, what you got?
Now I was going to ask, have you ever did any family court?
Yes. I believe he's
family court's a different world. I didn't do too much. Even though I'm certified in family law, I have to be certified for various things. I never really liked it.
I don't blame you.
And I don't really want to be fighting over how much the kids are going to get and who's going to keep them on the weekends or what pots and pans belong. To me, I never really had much of an interest in it, so I didn't include it in the book. Well, I didn't include taxes, and I didn't include probate. But for the most part, I've got everything dealing with litigation, civil and criminal, in there. I even provide forms if you get arrested for DUI. What are you looking at? There's a form for it. You could fill out a form for that. I also included a case that I had argued before the Supreme Court because it's an interesting opinion to change the law in California. And I attached a copy of that so people could see what an opinion from the Supreme Court looks like.
It's right here.
And I tried to make it interesting. Even when I find some lawyer, I included my minute order, which I said why I was doing what I was doing. It's a real eye-opener. I don't want to oversell this. But it really is an eye-opener, and it's taken me years to write it. And I've heard over 10,000 cases, presided over at least 10,000 cases over the years. So you get a kind of a mixed bag of great stories, so you can get some chuckling at the same time as you're learning.
And, Joe, just so you know, they're having a sidecar. Excuse me, no sidebars.
Okay.
I learned that in the OJ thing.
Okay.
Just so you know, Joe, there is no naked pictures of Gloria Allred
in here.
None
at all, huh?
Joe was asking if there was naked pictures of Gloria
Allred. I thought you wanted to see it.
But that would make this book unreadable. Uh-huh. However, this book, From the Trench to the Bench, is totally readable because it's factual.
Very informative.
It's very informative.
Yeah.
We're all passing the book around the room, by the way. That's why if you hear people talking, they're intrigued. We got one copy here, and I know everyone's going to be fucking borrowing it from me. It's annoying, because a lot of these guys get DUIs.
I got to confess, I just went through it when we got it published by Amazon, and they didn't do a very good job of proofreading. So I've gone through it, and I've noticed a bunch of typographical errors. Oh. So I'm sending in the revised version. So if anybody's going to get the book, wait a week.
Wait a week. See what Judge Herb does? He did the same when he knew people were going to fuck up their case. He said, wait a week. This time, the book right here, From the Trench to the Bench, is not quite ready. Not to the specifications of Judge Herb. Okay? So when Judge Herb says wait a week, you wait a week because then you get the good copy.
I'm going to buy this book.
Damn right, From the Trench to the Bench.
Where'd you get the title, Judge? Trench to the Bench. Were you? It sounded military to me at the beginning. I thought maybe.
Yeah, people have said that. No, yeah. The trench means when I was a full-time trial lawyer, practicing trial lawyer.
I got it.
It's always very adversarial. There's always a guy on the other side. It's always a fight. Mm. Always a fight. The difference between that and the bench is I have no dog in the fight.
Damn right.
I don't care who. I really don't care who. I have ruled in favor of people I didn't like. I've ruled against people that I liked very much and I wanted to help, like that constitutional case that I decided.
Yes.
And the fact of the matter is we have to park our emotions and all of those other considerations at the door.
Absolutely.
It's all about doing the right thing. And so what I've done is I've tried to separate the trench from the bench.
All right, so there's no truth to the rumor that the trench was that you used to be a flasher.
Oh, stop
it. I just want to make sure, because I believe that Judge Herb has done everything except be a flasher.
He's going to lock you up.
He's going to lock me up. Yeah. He's going to throw away the key.
You better not go before the judge.
I'm
going
to have to meet him in his chambers, and he's going to beat me with a stick.
I got a great quick story to tell you, though.
Please do.
Real quick story.
Go ahead, Judge.
I was sitting in chambers, and I was reading all my stuff before I go out. I read everything. And so I'm all done, and I'm going to tell my clerk that I'm coming out, right? We have buttons under the desk, in case anybody didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I reach down, and I press the button, and I put my robe on, getting ready to go out. And all of a sudden, the door swings open, and there's like three sheriffs with their guns, hands on their holsters. I pressed the emergency button by mistake. They were there within like 15 seconds.
Nice!
Literally.
Well, nice to know the button
and
works.
So, you know, I've got great stories to tell. They really are. I've been doing this a long time,
well,
and I have a good time at it. And I think it's something of interest to the public.
Well, Judge Herb, this is not the last time we're going to talk, because we like you.
Yeah, really.
And you're now the head of our legal system for the Ham Radio Show. You're our head attorney slash judge for the Ham Radio Show. So you can't go anywhere. We will definitely bring you back. We'll bring you back when you have the retread of the book, but when you probably will have a couple more books probably inside of you with all your stories.
But you can watch the show. You know we have a radio show. Did you know that?
You have on KCAA. Am I correct?
Yes, we do. It's on iHeart nationally. It's called For the People.
There you go.
And last week I had a nationally known porn star as a guest. I've interviewed Roger Stone. I've interviewed Lee Baca. Richard Chamberlain, I've had some very good guests. It's a great show.
It's a great show. So not only is Judge Herb a amazing judge in the judicial sense, in the public sense, but he's also horning in on my spot and becoming an outstanding radio host and hosting his own show.
All right, Your Honor, we don't need the competition.
They say you change careers many times in your life, you know? So I guess I'm changing my career to become a more public spokesman than I was doing for all those years. The law business was very good to me. It put my kids through school and a lot of other good things. And I decided when I took the appointment that this is my chance to pay it forward. That's what I'm doing.
Well, I can tell you this. After telling me about that button, 15 seconds the cop was there, we can use that button in the hood.
I'll tell you that. Okay.
I was going to say, I'm pushing the button right now. I got to say goodbye to Judge Herb. Judge Herb, say your last name again. I'm not going to fuck it up. Go ahead.
Dodell.
Dodell.
No,
Dodell. D like in dough, like money, you know, bread.
Dodell.
Dodell.
Judge Herb Dodell, who is the author of From the Trench to the Bench, Navigating the Legal System and Finding Your Spiritual Path Along the Way. Judge, I thank you. The show thanks you for being on the program. You're one hell of a guy. Please come back.
The party of the first party.
The party of the first part. Yeah,
the second party.
Party of the second part.
Okay. Well, it's been fun talking to you guys. I love talking about it, so you can call me anytime you like.
Absolutely, sir. Judge, thank you, sir. Round of applause for the judge. Thank you, Judge.
Bye now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Judge Herb is back in his chambers. He had to go. One hell of a book, though.
Knowledge is power.
Smart guy, though.
Smart guy. I don't know what the hell he was doing on this show, but he's very smart.
Yeah. God refreshing topic, I like that on the show. Usually we got... I don't want to say the words.
What were you going to say, Joe? What were you going to say? Because he's got porn stars.
Bimbos.
He's got actors.
Yeah, this is coming from the guy who held the pig up to get fucked.
Yeah. Fucked by another puppet, mind you.
No less.
Well, that was another segment.
Excuse me. That puppet over there is filing a restraining order against this fucking puppet.
Notice
over here.
The smile on its face.
No, he's got an evil smile. You ever notice that puppet has an evil smile?
Yeah, he does.
He does. Look at those eyes, man. Like,
shit that should be in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
And now it's got a fucking bone. 7185.
That's our old producer.
Joe, shut up. 718-577-1389 is the Ham Radio Show. We got to go to break.
Black
Ricky's hanging out here. Ricky Love is back in the studio. Ricky, how are you? Wait, hold on for 1 second.
All right.
There he is.
Doing all right.
Whoop, and he's still talking.
I'd like to, ask the judge. I came in late.
So you came late, just like you in the bedroom.
Well, I'll tell you, a guy like that, you could ask 1,000 questions,
That's why we'll have him back.
Yeah, we got to have him back.
Relax, Judge Herb will be back. Everyone calm down. It's the Ham Radio Show.
Thank you, Judge Herb.
You know anyone in this room need a judge.
Yeah, especially you.
I'm not touching that.
I'm saying.
718.
He's got a whole paragraph.
Would you shut the fuck up? 718.
Oh, well,
Jesus, Joe, which one's your mic? That one. 718-577-1389. We'll be right back after these, without Joe, Musty Balls Words.
What's your name, scumbag?
Ham Radio.
Wonderful. And while we're at it, we can light up a doobie and watch porn.
Great horny toads.
Now they will be here.
Unfiltered Radio Network, hamradioshow.com.
ED Publications has proudly been serving the adult nightclub industry for over 20 years.
with news and resources for the strip clubs and exotic dancers. Visit EDPublications.com to find out more about their yearly ED Expo convention and awards, magazine subscription, and advertising offers.
Tootsie's Cabaret, located at 150 Northwest 183rd Street in Miami Gardens, Florida, is a 74,000-square-foot mega club with a 20,000-square-foot sports bar showing all major sporting and pay-per-view events. Tootsie's was voted the number one adult nightclub in 2012 and features full liquor bars and a full restaurant, open 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Missed an episode of the Ham Radio Show? Not to worry. You can download the latest episode, as well as past shows, on HamRadioShow.com. Go to HamRadioShow.com and click on the downloads link.
Come live the vivid experience in one of the hottest clubs in America and enjoy the best in adult entertainment. Party with the sexiest dancers and surround yourself with the most beautiful girls. Relax in an upscale atmosphere and enjoy the variety of first-class amenities our various clubs have to offer. Enjoy exclusive events and special promotions, live radio broadcasts and celebrity guest appearances, the hottest clubs from the name you know. Vivid Clubs comes in the night of your life.
Religion Tequila, the world's finest premium 100% organic tequila, using only the purest organic ingredients and time-tested distillation process to create a true reflection of our commitment and collaboration with nature. Journey to purity and perfection with Religion Tequila, our vision, our devotion, our religion. 100% organic handcrafted tequila by Religion Tequila. Visit them on the web at ReligionTequila.com. That's ReligionTequila.com.
This is Ham Radio.
Yo! Check us out!
Follow us, but not too close, on Twitter. Twitter.com/Ham Radio Show.
On Demand Salon. OnDemandSalon.com. Professional door-to-door hair and makeup services. Let the salon come to you. Whether you're getting a blowout, blowout for two, blowout for three, hell, bring in a blowout for four, it doesn't matter. Cut in style for special events, weddings, or whatever you need. On OnDemandSalon.com. That's OnDemandSalon.com. Prices and booking, 866-250-4145. That's 866-250-4145. On Demand Salon. OnDemandSalon.com.
Hello, everybody in New York. It's Tom Green. You know, I've kissed Pierce Brosnan before, you know, kind of, and I've had milk right from the cow's udder. Not sure why I'm telling you this, but there's no way I'd ever do either with Uncle Eddie. You're listening to Ham Radio.
I want
to
hear the loony loon. The funny, funny loon loon.
Yeah! All right, so I got breaking news. Coming this summer, 2019, the planet is back. That's right. www.planetplatypus.com is back. Hold on, Joe. You want to talk during the commercial? You got to tell me.
No, I'm excited. All right, our old friend there.
Now shut up so I can tell the people about it.
I like him.
Now watch this. Goodbye, Joe. Planetplatypus.com will feature the adult industry like never before. The new Planet Platypus show. Featuring DJ Platypus, Josh Fiore, Bobby Mack, and one and the only porn legend, Mary Carey. Look out for interviews, strip club stories, and upcoming industry events and news. Summer 2019, the planet is back, and Ham Radio Show, of course, will be a part of it. For more information, go to planetplatypus.com. That's planetplatypus.com. Right now, it's time for the Hollywood Rock and Wrap Up right here on the Ham Radio Show.
It's the Hollywood Rock and Wrap Up with your host, Jason Hadley. Lori Loughlin rejected a plea deal in the college admissions cheating scandal, leading federal prosecutors to add money laundering, doubling her potential minimum jail time. Due to overpopulation, the other Full House. Netflix continues to defend a documentary showing a disturbing scene of a walrus falling to its death. Former Mythbuster Jamie Hyneman has since stated he doesn't recall starring in any documentaries. Insiders report his one-hour nightclub appearance last Saturday netted R. Kelly a whopping $22,000. or, depending on the outcome of the cases, 88,000 packs of ramen noodles. Happy birthday to star of The Sixth Sense, Haley Joel Osment, who coincidentally held his party at the same bar as Sam Kinison, because he sees dead people. Okay. And that's the Hollywood Rockin' Wrap-Up. Follow us on Twitter at Rockin' Wrap-Up.
Third Eye Blind.
Yeah.
She lives for me. Give me innovation. Give me innovation. She goes.
I don't want to be an adult. I've heard horrible stories about Bran and strange undergarments.
There you go. 718-577-1389. I'm telling you, the Judge Herb conversation has continued.
Oh, it was very,
here in the studio.
Yeah, it was very exciting and very informative. And,
yeah.
A great change of pace for us, and we had enjoyed it. Yeah.
Joe is so critical of the show he's on.
No, I'm
it's
not.
It's amazing. It's a change of pace. Usually your show sucks.
It was a change of pace.
We've had Roger Stone on the show.
I know.
Jesse Ventura. Yeah. We have political figures and newsworthy people on this show all the time if they're going to be interesting. I only agree to Judge Herb because he's a radio guy, he knows what he's doing, and he's informative. And his book doesn't suck donkey dick.
Danny,
it's a useful thing.
Yes.
How was your weekend?
Mine was great.
Yeah.
I was on pay-per-view.
I
was on pay-per-view?
You were on a pay-per-view?
You got body slammed or something?
No, I was a part of WrestleCon 2019 live from the Hilton on 6th Avenue in New York City. From the Grand Ballroom.
Yeah.
What the hell is he talking about?
I'm talking about WrestleCon. The thing, we had Mike on for about 5 seconds. Mike Babchick was on last week.
Okay.
Where he was getting a burrito and buying fucking ice cream.
I
like
was
getting
a blowjob.
He's training hard, huh? Oh, yeah. We had a six-man tag that I was involved in. I was on the outside. Six-man tag.
Ooh. Let me tag you, big fella.
Come over here and grab my musty balls.
Yeah, so did you get body slammed or what?
No, I didn't get body slammed.
Nobody will pick you up.
I totally was willing to do a whole bunch of shit.
Really?
We were cut kind of short for time, so we had to do certain things. But it was, by the way, personally want to thank Matt Stryker, Trent Beretta. I want to make sure I get all the names right. Chucky T from The Best Friends.
Chucky Cheese.
Not Chucky Cheese.
Oh.
Chucky T. He was there giving pizza out. Tommy Dreamer, Colt Cabana, and of course Mike Babchick and Evan Cohen from The Morning Men, because without them, that would have never really fucking ever happened. Channel 82, Sirius XM satellite radio there.
What time in the morning?
I have no fucking clue. Six? Were
you there when they wrestled, when that guy jumped on the wrestler, man, was making the speech?
That was the next night. Yeah. That was at the WrestleMania was this weekend.
Big wrestling weekend.
It was a huge wrestling weekend.
The whole week was all wrestling.
Yeah, so WrestleMania, the Hall of Fame is what you're talking about, Bret Hart giving the Hall of Fame acceptance speech with his niece? Natty Neidhart, is that his niece? Yeah, because it's Uncle Brett. Yeah, so that's his niece.
He's getting up there in years, isn't he?
Oh, he's very old. Yeah. He's also a cancer survivor and a stroke survivor.
Really? Wow.
So, I mean, it's not like he was,
the guy trying to attack him
for him, man. Well, the guy was an asshole because
They whipped his ass, though.
The Hart Foundation going into the WWE Hall of Fame. I don't know if anyone else saw the footage. What the guy does is this guy dressed in a Rastafarian hat.
Yeah.
Decides, he's in his own opinion, he's a mixed martial artist.
Okay.
Decided to jump. They did things a little different this year, which I believe kind of left them open for dumb shit like
right.
this. They set the stage up a little differently, as in there was an aisleway.
More people into the arena this way.
Exactly.
As opposed to just setting it up with a regular stage.
And the stage was a wrestling ring. And the guy went under the ropes, he got past security, did everything. And of course, because wrestling's fake, So automatically everyone's like, oh, this is just
shtick. I was
going
to ask you that.
This is not real. This guy was real because he got his ass beat.
They whipped his ass.
There's so much security there. You know,
doesn't matter.
But you could still
people do this all the fucking time. People have done this live on pay-per-view where people have run into the ring.
Yeah, that's how they've killed it.
And the thing about Billy will attest to this.
Yeah.
There are rules. This is the thing that I try to explain. I tried to explain to Mike Babchick before the match. There are rules that are just fundamental rules of professional wrestling. It's a brotherhood for a reason and sisterhood for a reason. If you don't follow these rules, you will get hurt. One of which is don't be a dick and jump a wrestler. Mm-hmm. They will then swarm like locusts to your body and beat you unmercifully, which is what happened to this guy.
Yeah, dude, whipping his
people
ass.
Present, the best was the dude from the Revival. The best is the dude from the... He picked one of the tag teams in the WWE is the Revival. Mm-hmm. I forget the guy's name. It's either Dash or Wilder. I think it's Wilder that did this. Picked him... He went, like everyone else, pulled the guy out of the ring.
Right.
Okay? So they all swarm him. Dash or Wilder, one of them from the Revival... decides, who's, by the way, wearing a Bret the Hitman Hart tuxedo, because he was such, you know. So now you've jumped the guy that he's obviously fucking enamored with.
Yeah, sure.
So he goes in to act like he's helping. So they're carrying the guy out. He, like, lifts him up, so he's helping everybody, makes it look, and then he sucker punches the shit.
Nailed him dead square in the face and just walks away.
Like, oh, my God. Knocked him fucking goofy. And then just walked away. It was the funniest thing to watch. There's film of it everywhere on YouTube.
Yeah. Just the fact,
outstanding.
Just the fact that they were whipping his ass.
Yeah.
The way they were dragging him out the ring. And all you seen was people punching from everywhere. Yeah. I haven't seen an ass whipping like that since my brother stole my mother's cigarette money. I'm telling you, that was an ass whipping.
It was an ass whipping.
But that's...
straight up ass whipping, son.
That's how it was. And that's what you got to see.
Yeah.
When you get to the back, it's even worse because there's nothing around. ECW, people used to do stupid shit in the crowd.
Yeah.
And they'd get pointed out. Security would come. And you're going, oh, they're throwing him out.
They're not throwing him out. He's going in the back. His ass whoops.
They're taking you to the back.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, that's one way to meet all your heroes.
Yeah. Did you ever see the movie Casino?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now, remember the place where Robert De Niro and everybody else was waiting? They would take the guy, put him in like a fucking head vise, or they would beat the shit out of
Joe Pesci.
Dude, this
Joe
is what happened. Dude, it's a very mob mentality. This is a family.
Mm-hmm.
When you steal or fucking fuck up with the family, what happens is you get fucked up. And that's the thing that is, it's wrestling protocol. You could be in the ring and you could be having a match and you're the bad guy and he's the good guy. Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
An asshole runs in. All bets are off. The ref starts beating the shit out of the guy.
Even his niece was fucking him up.
Exactly.
The lady was in there. She was kicking his ass.
Natty will fuck you up.
Yeah.
So the fact of the matter is that happened on Saturday. So Friday I was on pay-per-view. I forgot we were even on pay-per-view. Thanks to everyone who, by the way, paid $9.99 on Fight TV to see my fat ass, plus, I guess, Babjack and Evan as well, on pay-per-view. So hashtag I was on pay-per-view. That was the Friday night, which was awesome.
Right.
Saturday night, the guy jumps Bret Hart. And then Sunday, of course, WrestleMania Sunday.
Sunday and Monday.
Yes, Sunday. Yeah. WrestleMania went so long.
Seven hours.
Dude, WrestleMania was 7 to 8 hours. They don't know exactly how long you can calculate it because you had people that were there from, say, noon on. Well, what happened was it ran past. It went off the air at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
Or 12:27 to be exact, I think. But the fact of the matter is, that was a good one. You get a bell. The fact of the matter is, people had to get back to hotels.
And the best part was the transit system fucked up in Jersey.
And then also the
buses.
The transit system's also blaming the WWE now. So now it's a game of go fuck yourself across the board. And these people then, the best part, it started raining on these motherfuckers. So now they're waiting on lines and they're drenched. They have been up and standing for at least 8 hours.
Ooh.
They are now drenched in rain. They still have hours to get home.
Many of them.
Between Uber and, you know, any form of public transportation to get home. Oh, my God. It was such a delightful fuck-up.
Wow.
It was amazing. And I'm sure some of them will go to trial and have Judge Herb on their side because that's what
you need to do.
They got me
wet.
I got women in your man.
please. It doesn't matter. They had fun.
No.
If the thing is,
but you know,
the
somebody's
going to.
There's people that sue the fucking their football team because they suck.
Yeah.
And then, I want season ticket money back. Because
yeah,
the Jets suck dick.
No, a lot of people sued the Jets for ticket money back, or they requested their money back because. Halfway through the season, the tickets that you paid $100 for are now being advertised for $59.
I know. Nobody wants
to go. Well, tough shit. Sorry.
You can't blame them.
I want my money back. If you're going to charge these people that are coming in now for I want that. I want the same price.
Well, you get a tough shit.
And they got it.
And they should pay people to watch their ass. They should pay people for that.
Well, now that they look like the team out of Saskatoon up there. Mm. In the Canadian Football League with those new jerseys.
You're the only one that keeps... I don't understand. By the way, the Jets unveiled new jerseys and full uniforms.
They're still green?
No, yeah, they're Gotham green now. Yeah. Don't gloss over the high spot, kid. They are Gotham green, which looks exactly like regular green to me. Yeah. Nothing... Why do you care... What they look like on the field? Are we doing a fashion show?
No, I don't. But I'm just saying.
No, people but people are angry.
The same. You already have a uniform like that.
I know, but people are angry.
You know,
explain
just
to me.
One of those.
Wait, explain to me, and I'm going to go to all my sports people now. Explain to me why anyone would give a fuck what the Jets are wearing. They suck anyway. Who cares what they're wearing?
They're getting better.
They're getting better.
They're getting better.
These are things to say to a cancer patient. They're getting better.
Yeah, your T cell.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you're fine.
It's okay. Mm. Here come the doctors. No, it's just funny to me because there was an uproar about these uniforms.
They just, it doesn't
And Billy
fit.
Was one of them because Billy's like, they look like they're from Saskatoon.
Saskatoon.
They Hold still on. Suck monkey balls.
Exactly. Thank you, Ricky. Yeah. Exactly. You get a bell. Hold
Along
on.
Along with the Knicks.
There you go.
That's all. Don't get too excited about the Mets yet.
No.
Motherfuckers win 3 games and shit in the beginning of the season. They talking about this year.
One thing was discussed. We were discussing this on WrestleMania Sunday where people were talking about because MetLife, as Hogan would say, the MetLife Center, the MetLife Stadium, which... houses both the New York Jets and the New York Giants, even though they play in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Quick question. What other sports franchise shares a stadium?
The Lakers and the Clippers.
Yeah.
But that's the Staples Center. It's a little different because that's not like that's like for everything. This is mainly a football stadium. That's what
it
is.
Built for that.
So why not have two is my point.
It was something to do with financial reasons when the Giants left Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
They didn't have the money. Yeah, the Meadowlands was built for them.
Yeah.
And then when the Jets had the whole deal with Shea Stadium.
Wow.
And the seats
get
ripped out.
You get a bell for almost breaking your microphone.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're like, all right, well, fuck you. We're going over here. And
no, fuck you.
Everybody moved. And it's. You get off the bridge or come out of the tunnel and you're right there, so it's still New York.
Kiss my ass. You know, stadiums is what makes you. That's why the Dodgers left Brooklyn, because of the stadium.
Right.
You know, Ebbets Field was a cracker box. What a seat. 10,000 people, I think, something like that.
Well, but it was intimate and it was.
I loved
it.
I loved
what it was.
Ebbets Field was great.
I never had the.
You were too young to remember.
They were gone by the time I was even born.
Polo grounds, same thing. It was small.
We used to go there when we were kids. We used to get the bus on Nostrand Avenue and take it all the way down. You know. And then we used to stay outside. It was so small, they used to hit home runs out of the park all day long.
Yeah.
And if you got
Joe.
A baseball, they would let you in.
Yeah.
You know, with the baseball.
Chicago,
so
I think, used to do the same thing.
I am so old.
At the end of the game, just like the last two innings or something.
Oh,
like
they walk right in. Yeah.
But the thing at that point, too, is after the game, you wait. All the players come out.
Yeah.
They'll sign everything, talk to you.
Yeah, those
are
the good old days.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Now the players tell you go fuck yourself.
Now they don't give two shit.
Yeah, exactly.
They
don't give a shit now.
With the, you know, balls and stuff like that.
And those
that,
guys were making, what, like...
Oh, nothing.
They had to have...
$500 a year.
Yeah, they had to have a job. They had to have a job after the season and all kind of shit. These motherfuckers make millions now.
I think Babe Ruth in his day was making like 10 grand. You know, Willie Mays was making like 10 grand.
Yeah, but 10 grand in those days. He was one of the wealthiest men alive.
Yeah, no, but look at this guy.
Oh, no.
Who's the guy?
Trout? Is it Trout?
Well, Trout's got a big contract.
Is 100? What is it? $125 million or some shit?
Is that the one that's 0-49 and still got $92 million left on his contract?
That? Yeah,
that's some crazy shit.
The Mets are still paying Bobby Bonilla.
Eddie doesn't feel. Wait, hold on. Giggles is saying Eddie feels left out. He doesn't, because I know some of the shit they're talking about. Not only, when Joseph starts bringing up fucking shit from his heyday, fall asleep. Because
you know history. That's a you love history.
I know what he's talking about. It's just that Joe's talking about getting his balls touched. And I kind of black out for a second. I'm sorry. My fault. I'm sorry.
Shut up and get to the point.
I know.
Oh, we don't have any of those.
We don't have points. Hey, we got any points lying around over here?
No. Gil Hodges used to live on Bedford Avenue. He had a house on Bedford Avenue, and kids would hang out outside his house because he would come out and
Michael Jackson had a house where kids would hang out inside his house.
Yeah, no, he would come out and sign autographs for the kids. Sometimes he would take them with him to go to the game.
They used to sit outside with the kids sometimes, like Jackie Robinson used to do stuff like that too. Out there, buy the kids ice cream.
It was very different.
It was a different time. It's when sports, when athletes gave
these
a shit.
No, these rich fucks now don't do shit.
Of course not.
You were part of the community. Yeah. You had like it was. You didn't have to, but you.
No.
If you wanted people to keep coming and supporting you, you went out there and did shit like that.
Well, too, you can't live in the communities now. Like,
right now.
These motherfuckers are robbed you and all kind of shit.
And many of places,
that's true. A lot of these guys don't even want to sign autographs anymore unless you go to the events because it's money.
Well, that was like
you can take this shit and sell it.
Wait, hold on, Giggles. I'll jump back in. It's like going back to WrestleCon.
Sure,
was the same thing. You had people, you had wrestlers all around, and you couldn't even like look in their direction or, God forbid, took a picture of them without. Like, because they're there just to make money.
Yeah.
That's why they're there. They're there just for the sole purpose of making money. And that's what the athletes nowadays only give a shit about. You'll have a kid take a picture with his dad.
Yeah.
And they'll take the picture on the phone and they'll be like, that's $50.
Yeah.
And they'll stand there with their hands out.
That's some shit.
It's crazy.
And it's on your fucking phone. You're
making $100 million. You got his fucking hand out for $50.
That's unbelievable, right?
Tax free. That's what they're aiming for.
I've seen fucking guys take the picture on the phone. The guy goes, I'm not paying you $50. He takes the phone back and deletes the picture.
Yeah.
And then hands the guy the phone back. Okay, we're good, thanks.
I
and walks away. I've
phone.
Seen
fuck
that
you.
Happen.
I'll fight you
that's
for it.
I have seen that happen.
Yeah.
That's why, like, I always laugh
that's
because...
That's a shame. That's a shame.
It's a damn shame.
I wouldn't support a fucking game that dude played on if he did some shit like that.
Yeah. Well, look at all of that. Like, do you think, like, LeBron James takes pictures with people? Do you think that actually happens?
Like, for come hours on. At a time?
Yeah, no. He does, but that's the thing, like, when you're a celebrity, hold on, this is just maybe my opinion. You all can disagree if you want, but my fucking personal opinion is when you're a celebrity, like, if I'm known as Uncle Eddie, and Uncle Eddie, like, has to sign an autograph or take a picture, I don't give a fuck. I'll do that to every single person.
Yeah.
I'm never, I will
they're
never.
They're supporting you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're who you are because of
them. Yeah, and that's why, like, you're always, to me, because I remember, I always say this, and Rick knows, that I'm a fan first.
Yeah.
No matter what happens in my career.
Yeah.
You know, I might not find a girl like Giggles with a great taste in pussy like Peaches and Cream. I might be single. But the fact is, if I find a girl and that Peaches and Cream fucking destroys my career, whatever. I don't know what there's going to be, but if I'm always going to be Uncle Eddie and I will always be doing something, and if I'm considered even remotely a celebrity and someone wants an autograph or someone wants a picture, of course. That's why we're here.
Especially if you're making $43 million a year.
Well, if I'm making that, fuck yeah, come on
over. You become a celebrity, you ask for this shit.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
It's part of the job.
Also, at the same time, though, you should be able to, like, say, go to a restaurant with somebody and sit down
different.
And have dinner.
No, I agree with that.
Without people coming over
or someone hanging around your house trying to
see
pictures
you know, when you give a 21-year-old kid $43 million, it's a whole different head. They got a fucking head game.
They
ain't paid their dues respectfully.
We're having two different conversations. What Billy's talking about is people, when you're a fan... And fans need to understand to stop fucking bothering people.
It's courtesy. It's courtesy.
When it's like the Eminem song. He goes, I can't take a shit without someone standing by it. And he means like standing by the stall door, knocking on the door while he's taking a shit, wanting an autograph.
Yeah.
You have to know when to do it.
Yeah, courtesy is courtesy.
And then what Joe's saying is when you have a young one that has stuff,
We can talk about this for another hour.
I didn't know we had time because my producer didn't tell me.
Okay.
Remember, free speech is never silent. So always speak the fuck up.
That's right.
And remember, if you're going to fuck that chicken, talk to Judge Herb first because there's a restraining order
on
that
chicken. That's right.
God damn it. Until next week when we have Dante Nero in the show, I say AMF, my friend, and that means adios, motherfucker!
The Ham Radio Show is a production of the Unfiltered Radio Network and broadcast live from the Bunker Studios in New York every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on UnfilteredRadioNetwork.com. All material heard on the Ham Radio Show is copyrighted by the Ham Radio Show. Some material may be copyrighted by its respective owners. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission of the Ham Radio Show's material without the written consent of Ham Radio and or its affiliates is strictly prohibited. And if you don't understand all that legal mumbo-jumbo, here's Billy to explain it to you in not-so-technical terms.
So, asshole, that means you can't use this without our permission. Fuck you.
Bite my shiny metal ass.